Amazing. Hello, everyone. How are you? Good. Is everyone good? Give us a wave if you're good. Amazing. So I'm going to make a start. My name's Zeke. My actual name, it's been mentioned so many times today and even last night, Ezekiel. That's my real name. So I am a prophet, self-pronounced. No, I'm joking. But I have the privilege of working for DTI, dreaming the impossible, not doing the impossible, like Mike unfortunately said last night. We have the privilege of working with young people at our festival, but also my privilege and my role as part of DTI is to travel around the country, work with young people like yourselves, youth leaders. And so it's a real honor to be with you guys this afternoon. I just want to say, as I know that some of you might realize if I don't say it from now, that you could be in the wrong seminar. So this is I am who I say I am versus I am who he says I am. That's the seminar. Are we all good? You know you're in the right place. But this is my 15th year of Soul Survivor, and I've been in seminars that I didn't want to be in before, and it's kind of like, how do you get out of it? You could get a prank call or just pretend to be on your phone or texting your mom or something, you need to go out, whatever it is. But guys, I want to talk to you about really the heart of the message that I want to speak about this morning is identity. Where do we get it from? Where do we get who we are? Who defines us in this world? And we can get that from all sorts of places. But I also want to look at the gospel. I want to look at the power of the fact that Jesus came and he lived on this earth and then he died and he gave up his life and then he rose again, and how that has power, and knowing that, receiving that understanding and letting that transform our lives and our minds actually shapes who we become and who we are. And so I'd love to pray as we get started, because I can share, but I want to pray for you guys that as I speak, it wouldn't just be me speaking, the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Because he's amazing. He's promised as our guide, and so he wants to guide us into truth. Just to share a little bit about me, for years, growing up as a teenager, there was kind of three things that sort of helped shape my identity. And none of them, they were all like sort of, they were just stuff in my life. But what I realized when I look back and when I sort of gave my life to Jesus and that journey, because when we give our lives to Jesus, we're on it, we start a journey with him. And he is transforming us daily. And the major things growing up, the major obsession for me was football. I love football. I actually came here, if you noticed a little twang in my accent, I'm from Australia. And I came here when I was 18 to pursue a football career. But all through my teenage years, football defined me. And that might sound weird, because how could a round thing define you? But playing football and being involved in football teams, and it was about performance, whether you're in or out. Often, if I played a good game, I was loving life. If I didn't, I was hating life. And I'm talking like almost to being feeling depressed. Football shaped the way I saw the world. It shaped the way I saw my life. And also, I got a lot of identity from it. A second thing was I don't know if any of you have had trouble with your skin or had any skin diseases or issues, but when I was young, a teenager, I had really bad eczema. And I'm actually healed. I've been completely healed of eczema, but my skin was covered in it. And I'm not talking like a little rash between my arms or back of my legs. I'm talking I would wake up at night, sometimes in the middle of the night or at first thing in the morning, and my sheets would have patches of blood because I'd been itching so much. So this was a struggle for me, and it really affected my confidence and my even my identity, who I thought I was. If my skin was bad, I was affected by that. I was less confident. And then the final thing, because of eczema, I sort of cared a lot what people thought. That came from football and eczema. So suddenly as a teenager, I'm just doing life with all this other stuff that's defining me and shaping me. And I'm trying to find who I am from these kind of things. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? We all have this. And for you, it might be something different. But the reality is that we can let external and internal things that are just, they're part of us, define who we are. But what does it look like when we don't let that define us and we let the cross, the death, and the resurrection of Christ begin to define us? One of the things that I've realized as I sort of grew up and just been part of, let's get into the Bible. If you turn to me, Romans 12 with me, Romans 12, 1 to 2. And guys, I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you. Let this book will really shape how you see yourself. Because this book from start to finish is the story of God. It's the story of God pursuing humanity. And it's what you realize through reading this book is the extent that God will go to just to get close to us. And it's beautiful. And so I've actually memorized this passage because I believe it's good to memorize scripture. So you can test me, all right? Do you want to test whether I... Yeah? Shut the book. Let's see. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How did I do? But I didn't do it to get a clap. I just want, guys, let's get it into our heart. But this passage I want to inform this seminar, because it's talking about not being conformed by the patterns of this world or by the experiences we have or by even the things that we come across, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, once we come into relationship with Jesus, God starts to renew our mind. Years and years ago, I've been a youth pastor and youth worker for 15 years now. So it's been an honor to do that and journey with parents and young people. And there was a family that came to our church. And I got really close to the father of the family. It was a bit random, but I'd often go around his house. We'd pray together 6:30 in the morning. And we'd get a little pump on, do some weights. It was like, you know, I know it doesn't look like it, but I used to be a bit more buff. And anyway, that's how we'd bond. And we'd disciple one another. We'd help one another. And this guy was awesome. He had three kids, him and his wife. They had three children. And then God spoke to them about adopting another child. And so they decided that was God speaking to them. They adopted a child. And that child came from a background which I can't even paint the picture how horrendous this child's background was. I mean, it was so bad that it was like he didn't even have parents. They neglected him and abused him so badly, he was taken as a really young child, like 2, 3, not even about 2 years old. So he gets taken out of that environment and put it into this family that love him and want to say, we love you, we care about you. And they just took him into their family. That's what adoption is. We get adopted into a family, get taken in. So this lad... this young person was in this family, this child growing up. And I was saying to the guy, like, what's it like? What's it like for your lives? How is it? He said, it's crazy because of this child's life, he just feels constantly rejected. And he keeps rejecting our love. He can't accept the love we're trying to give to him. And so it's really hard for our family because we're trying to love him. We're trying to say, hey, you're accepted, you're loved. You're part of this family, but he keeps rejecting that. And he said, it's kind of like us. Like we get adopted into God's family, but so often we live like as if we're not adopted. Like we're not really sure what God thinks of us. And I sort of thought, oh wow, for this young child, his whole life has been defined by rejection and pain. And so if you asked him, who are you? Like, and he was to say, well, I am who I say I am. And that who he was saying he was just, I deserve to be rejected, I hated, I could never be loved and cared for. But the family is saying to him, no, you are, you're loved. And hey, you are who God says you are. You are who we say you are. And they're trying to bring him into the family. And I realized as we were hanging out and I was spending time with this family that this is the struggle that we have in our Christian faith. This is the struggle to believe that God actually loves us and he's accepted us and we don't need to look to other things or even to ourselves to define who we are. And there's a big difference, guys, because if you let stuff that you do or your performance or how you look or whatever define you, it just focuses in on you. And God's way bigger than that. And so we have this struggle in our culture growing up. In this culture today, the main cultural message that you'll be hearing is things like, hey, just do whatever makes you happy. You heard that one before? No? You guys heard that? People say. Maybe you're chatting to someone and you tell them you're a Christian and then they're like, oh, if it's good for you, man, that's cool. If it's good for you, you do you. You heard that one? Whatever works for you. If it's good for you, or live your best life now. Live your best life now. That's the message that we receive. And so our society and culture is saying basically the most important thing is you. You're the most important thing. And what you think about yourself is the most important thing. If you don't believe me, just watch TV or go on YouTube or look at social media. It's all about promoting. You're the most important thing. And so what happens is we surround our life and our ideas and our mindset around us. But when we, and that's what happens when we say, I am who I say I am. I define my reality. I define myself. But in this passage, Paul is saying, don't conform to the patterns and the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God define who you are. Let him shape who you're called to be. But you know, if I'm honest, that sounds good, and I heard that when I was a teenager. But what does it look like to apply it to our life today? And so what does it look like for that to become our reality? Well, I want you to just get into pairs or like triplets or maybe around your table. And the question is, where do you get your identity from? And now you might be sat next to a friend or someone you don't really know, but I'd love you to take a moment to be honest. You know, I shared about football and, oh gosh, that was like whatever I had for lunch. Some kind of pie or something. Anyway, you don't need to know that. So partner up. And the question is, like, where are you getting your identity from? Who are you saying you are? And what are the things that are shaping you? Are you with me? But guys, you can give the answer like, oh, I think I get identity a bit from like my Instagram account. Or, you know, that's true. And that might be, for some of you, it is. Like, that's your major thing. If people like what your picture, you're jacked up. You're loving life. If they don't, you're like ready to just delete your account and who cares about everyone else. Like, so whatever it is, just for a minute, just share. Just open up a little bit. Are you with me? You know what you're doing? Anyone don't know what they're doing? Brilliant. Go. You got some time. Okay, friends, let's wrap it up. Bring it down. Okay, now, I didn't tell you this, but I'd love for just a few people, just stick up your hand and maybe, no, I should have said this, but maybe shout out some of the things. If it's a bit personal, you don't have to, but I'd just love to get a feel from the room, like what kind of things were you talking about? Go for it, man. Can be defined by film. Yeah, big time. Yeah. Things we watch, things we take in, the messaging, that kind of thing. Yeah. Anything else? Your job. Yeah, totally. Being the job being sort of like where you get all the identity. And then if something changes in the job, does that shift who you become and who you are, that kind of stuff? Yes. Okay. So the sort of difference between the church life and your personal faith and how you promote and what is my identity, the church, or is it my identity? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Others? Yes, at the back. Yeah. Totally. You can defined by your anxiety, the things you experience, the things physically, emotionally, mentally, they can define you. Yeah, what else? Up the back, yep. Shout it, there's someone moving like a truck behind me. Other people's opinions, massive one. Like what others think of us can massively define our life. Even think little things that people say that they think they're just chucking it away, but it, yeah. And I think we had someone around here. Yeah. Yep, yep. Things we listen to. Define. Yeah. Anything else? Yep. Yes. Yeah. And what happens sometimes if you've been a worship leader or you've been doing something that you get your strokes, you could say, oh, you're really good at that, and then you don't do it anymore, or your life shifts, or someone says, hey, you're not gonna be doing that. Is that what defines us? One more? Yes. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You sort of need to fill someone else's shoes, that kind of stuff. Well, guys, what if we became a generation that wasn't defined by our feelings, our experiences, the words that have been spoken over, but just went straight to God, just went straight to our Father? How different would our life be? How different would it be if we lived for an audience of one? Like where people are saying, oh, you're not any good at this. Well, actually, I don't sort of need your... Like, people's opinions are helpful to guide us, but actually we didn't live for that. You know, I'd love to see in your generation, young people rise up that know who they are and know where they get their identity from, where they need to get their identity from. And so I suppose the question then I ask is, how can we live a different story? How can we live out a different story? And I've come to the conclusion for years of living this Christian life out that we need to change who and where we get our identity from. You see, Romans 12, what I spoke out and what we read earlier, do not conform to the patterns of this world. That means don't go after the ways of this world or the opinions of others or the job that defines you or whatever it is. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guys, it starts in here. Can everyone point to their head and say, it starts in here? You see, there's a saying that says, right thinking produces right living. And that's what this passage is saying. It is, as God transforms your mindset, you begin to live differently and you begin to change. And I believe the gospel... The good news of Jesus is like front and center in the way that we get this right. See, if you don't really know the gospel, I just want to share it real quick. The Bible says that when God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, they were perfect. They were in perfect connection with God. There was no sin. There was no disconnect. They were walking, and I mean, to get a visual in your mind, they were walking around naked and they were fine. There was no shame. The Bible uses the word no shame to describe their state. They walked in perfect connection with God. We know that they sinned. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were tempted. They ate. And you know the first thing they say to God when he goes looking for them? Can anyone remember? Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? We were naked and we were ashamed, so we hid. Wow. So the first thing that humanity felt was ashamed of their creator, ashamed of their state. And we've been living out that story ever since. And the Bible is the story of that sort of humanity's state. Kind of connected with God. God is trying everything he can to connect, but he won't force himself. He's presence and he reveals himself in different ways. That's the story of the Old Testament. God revealing himself to people, then them leading people into that truth. But God had a plan. The good news is that God had a plan. And Jesus came, he humbled himself. The God of the universe humbled himself into a child. And he was born into this world, perfect in everything he did. And the Bible says that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So he modeled, and he said, the kingdom of God is here. He came to set a new culture, a new way of thinking. So Jesus comes and he does that. But humanity rejects him. You're not God. You're not who you say you are. And they reject him so much that they take him to the cross. And on that cross, he took all of the disconnect that we have with God and put it on himself. He took the sins that we produce and we live out of, past, present, and future, and he put it on himself. And on that cross, he said, "It is finished." He said, it's finished, because he was saying the power of sin over humanity is done with. I've paid the price for it. Now go and receive it and live free. So the disciples were around him and they saw that happen. And then he said, but I'm going to rise again. And he did. He rose again. Through his resurrection, he defeated the power of death. Sin on the cross, death through the resurrection. And then when the disciples were around him, they believed that. And he says, but wait here. Wait where you are in Jerusalem, because I'm going to send the Spirit. And so they wait. And if you guys read the book of Acts, it's called the book of Acts because it's the acts of the disciples. It's the acts of the apostles. It's what they did after Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven. So they were filled with the Spirit and they began to live out that new reality. And this truth, knowing this truth, shapes and affects the way we go and live our lives. You see, God is saying on the cross, I want you back. You're mine. I want to define you. I want to say who you are. And I say who you are through the cross, the death, and the resurrection. Isn't that, just think about that for a sec, guys. You're defined by his love for you. When you receive that, that is powerful. It's a powerful reality. God is saying, I want you back. This is the extent that he'll go. And see, if we knew that, if we knew that reality and lived it out, I reckon our lives would be, they'd be different. We'd connect with God in a different way. We'd live our lives in a different way. We wouldn't be bound in here in the same ways we are. You see, who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's a song about that, isn't there? You know, I'm not going to sing. But. And that's why when, that song, I am who he says I am. I am who you say I are. It's so powerful. And Jesus, he defined that. He came to define who we really are. You see, living this life, living in the light of the gospel, what we actually say is, I'm not going to let anything else define me. I'm just going to let him define me. I'm just going to let God define me. And so I'm not defined by my sin, the things I've done in the past. I'm not defined by my job, how well I'm doing, my sporting career, my acting career, my GCSEs, my A-levels. They're all important. They're all part of us. But they don't define us when we say, Jesus defines me. That I'm saved. I'm free. I'm becoming a new creation. And so I just want to read to you another scripture. In Romans 8, it talks about our adoption. But Andy actually read this, so it tees it up really well. And you heard what he said this morning. So Romans 8, verse 14, I'm going to start up. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now this is about you guys. This is Paul's writing about us, about Christians. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. In fear again. You see, sin makes us live in fear, that we're disconnected with God. But what happened to sin? It was defeated. Just think about that for a second. Don't need to live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Guys, this is your inheritance. Do you know the cross and the death and the resurrection of Jesus is actually, it's our inheritance. To know that our sin is paid for, our past is finished, our future's set. We're a child of God. We've been adopted. Just like the story. Remember the story I told earlier about the young child that was adopted? The whole purpose of the family that adopted him was trying to tell him, hey, you're important. You're loved. You're chosen. You're secure. You're welcomed into the family of God. But that child struggled, and the young child will probably struggle all their life to believe that. And sometimes as Christians, we can struggle to believe the truth about ourselves. And when we begin to believe that truth, things begin to change. And so I want to suggest to you that we can either live as sons and daughters who have been adopted into the family of God. And this is a spiritual thing and a physical thing. So whether you've had parents that are around or not, whether they've broken up or the relationship's distorted or you don't have a relationship with your dad, when you become a Christian, you actually have a full relationship with your father. So you can either live in one way, adopted as a son and a daughter, or you can live as an orphan, as if you're not loved, as if you don't have a family, as if you don't have a father. Now, I wonder how you live out your Christian life. Son and daughter, or orphan? Are you a child of God? Or you're an orphan? And so we can live spiritually either or. And so many Christians, they're in. Like, they know they're kind of adopted. They know they're kind of chosen. They know they're kind of part of the family. But they live like this. Disconnected to God. I'm not sure if he likes me. I'm not sure if I'm connected with him. I'm not sure if I really have an inheritance. Where are you? Where are you in that? I wonder. So in Romans 6, Paul says something beautiful. He says, the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. That word consider or count yourself is to consider, in the original, is like to say take stock of who you've become. And so what I want to do now, and this will become an exercise, I want us to take stock of who we are. To consider who we've become in Christ. Because of the death, the resurrection, and the fact that we're now filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're not, I want to invite you into that. You get to choose whether you want that. So I want us to consider. Can we consider? Now, this is going to come up like a lot of information. I know that's like a lot, and I don't even know if you can see it. Can people see it? Maybe you want to take a photo. But what I want to do is I just want to invite the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of going to, we're going to move into ministry. Are you guys with me? You're hearing what I'm putting out? Yeah? Is any of this connecting? Yeah, sort of. Okay. So I know it's like day four. You're exhausted. But I just want us to dwell on some truth. Because the verse I started with, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Let's renew our minds this afternoon. Let's begin to think on the truth of who we've become in Christ. You guys up for that? Okay, so maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to read this with me. But I want to read it over you. And, you know, we've got like 15, 13 minutes, but I just really want this to hit home, and I just really want you guys to get this, but I can't make you get it. It's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he's also called the Counselor. So if you need counseling, he's your Counselor. He's also called the Guide. If you need a guide in life, he's the Guide. He's also the one that will draw us into truth. So if you need to hear some truth, he'll draw you into truth. Isn't that amazing? That we've got the Spirit of God, like Andy said this morning, living in us, living in this body, and he's leading me into that. So I want to do this. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to start to receive from the Lord. But I want to just speak this truth over you. Because I want us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guys, until you begin to get this stuff, this truth about how God sees you into your mind and into your heart, you'll just try to be a good Christian. And what you need to realize is you are a good Christian. That's your reality. Just need to continue to walk in it. Just going to read this. In Christ, you are accepted. God has accepted you. And that means that you can say this about yourself. Before I do that, Holy Spirit, just come. Just come upon us in this room. With this truth, just become a reality to us. In Christ, I am a child of God. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united in one spirit with Christ. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. You belong to God. You're His. You are who He says you are. This is what He's saying. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I'm a holy one. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Wow. I am redeemed and forgiven from all sin. I am complete in Christ. I cannot be separated from the love of God. The Holy Spirit, would this truth just land? Would this truth land? I remember when I first, and we're going to take another moment in a sec. I just wanted to share this. I remember when I first got it, found out about the I Ams. And if any of you are interested more, Freedom in Christ course, incredible. I remember my church pastor years ago introduced it to us. And I was like, oh, here we go, another course of how to be a Christian and how to become who Christ has made me to be. And I just remember I was being a bit cynical and thinking another course. And but we started reading in that course, you do the I Ams. This is just one section of the I Ams. And I remember what I was doing most mornings is I was waking up. I'd usually had a pattern of reading the Bible and praying, and that was all good. But the first thing I would do, it would pick my phone up. Who does that? Just be honest. And what I was doing with that is first thing, I'd usually read my messages. Second thing, Instagram. Third thing, maybe Facebook. Then fourth thing, maybe emails. So, I've just woken up and I've been hammered by all of this information. I'm talking hammered, like drop kicked from Instagram. Am I good enough? Bang. Do people want to hang out with me today? All this stuff. And then I realized I'm doing this all wrong. I'm getting all of the stuff that I need to get first thing in the morning from everything else but God. And as a Christian, that is detrimental to our faith and the spirit that is within us. So I decided to change it up. Straight up, not look at the phone. And I don't do this all the time. I battle with it. I decided I'd have a shower. And in the shower, just thank you, Lord, that I'm new. I'm renewed. I'm a new creation. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm chosen. I put on the armor. Thank you for the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, belt of truth, feet of peace. I'm putting all this stuff on. So I get out of the shower feeling clean and amazing in my body and in my mind. And some of you need to start doing this, and you need to start right now. So I suppose if any of you have been, what I've been saying is starting to stir you up, I just love you to stand.